Now I can talk about anything I want. Okay. Like I say, feel free to just stand up, stretch a little bit, move your muscles a little bit. You've been just sitting there, some of you. Your body can get quite heavy, especially in quite a warm room. So just stand up a little bit, just stretch a little bit. So start raising your mental energy a little bit too. I think just leave it. I think it's on heat mode, that's fine. Yeah. Feels like summer. Winter outside, summer inside. Here, do meditation regularly. Put your hands up. Right. Oh, you try to. Try. Okay, a few more tries. Yes.
That means we meditate every week.
Yeah, once a week. Okay. Yeah. How many of you have no meditation experience at all? Okay. So all of you have at least some meditation experience. Why do we meditate? You've been doing it? You've been trying to do it regularly? But why?
A lot of health benefits.
Health benefits?
Yeah.
Okay. Health benefits in what way?
Relax.
Relax?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Relaxing.
Okay. Yep. Feel relaxed, yeah? Some of you agree with that. Yeah, helps relax. Yeah. Why else? Concentration in what way?
Mindfulness.
Mindfulness in what way? True, but what does it mean?
Putting away distractions.
Putting away distractions? Why?
To be more focused.
To be more focused? On what?
Present moment.
Present moment.
Why? We need to plan things, we need to remember things. Why focus on the present moment? It's pretty boring now, it's pretty warm too. And the talk hasn't been all that great yet. Well, why? No, no one's necessarily. Thank you for the responses. And I agree. I just want to push you a little bit more. Why? Why do we want focus? Why do we want to be a bit more relaxed? Why do we want to develop mindfulness? Why do we want to be in present moment? For what? In service of what?
To get the most out of it.
To get the most out of? The present moment. You want to juice it as much as you can. It's here, so we want to live it as most. Yep, that's one perspective. What else?
So you are aware
of
what you're doing.
So you're aware of what you're doing? Why do you have to be aware of what you're doing then? Good point. Well, what? Why?
Why? So that you know that what comes like your action have what effects to others.
Okay, so you start to see cause and effect. If you pay attention to what's happening, yeah. What you do, what are the effects? Okay, very good. What else?
To see dukkha.
To see dukkha. What do you mean by that? In fact, it's a very good answer, but what do you mean by that?
When you meditate, you can observe that every passing moment has element of dukkha.
Oh.
Now we're getting interesting, yeah? That every passing moment there's dukkha in it. But what if you just let it pass? Is there dukkha?
Because if you don't observe it and if you don't contemplate on it, then you're not taking the root cause out of it.
Which is?
Clinging.
Clinging. Tanha. Okay. Now we're getting also a little bit different from where we started off, right?
Maybe.
So it's very different angle. Usually when you see the Buddha statue, the main posture he is in, sitting posture. And typically, he signifies what we modern day call meditation. For him, it's just a way of how he is, right? And the real heart of the Buddhist path is about developing mindfulness. But in service of what? We need to be clear of that. Because if not, we don't really know why the reason we are doing certain things. Now this evening, when I looked at the topic, there's so many different ways of aiming and dissecting this. Pragmatic approaches to the nature of mind. So you have to be pragmatic. Maybe I have an approach that I have to give you. And we'll talk about the nature of the mind. So it's a big topic. But it really peels down to when Coco and I were corresponding about this topic. He said that it's important to actually for me to expand a little bit about mindfulness and what we can do to increase mindfulness. And in order to do that, I think the first step we need to establish first is why we cultivate mindfulness for what? It's not easy. It's much easier to do everything else, right, than to train and cultivate your mind to pay attention in a particular way, and in this case to the present moment, and some of you have mentioned that. So they're aware of what's occurring. But in service of what? How does that link with the Buddha Dhamma? How does it link with the Buddha's teachings? How does this lead to something else? What does it lead to? And that needs to be clarified. If not, then you might be doing it. And things are happening, but you may not recognize or realize that things are happening. Meditation. When I talk about meditation, and for some of you it might be the same meaning, it is about developing or cultivating mindfulness. And it is actually a cultivation, that means it is a practice that you have to develop. It's something you have to sharpen, you have to make it stronger and stronger. And this quality of mindfulness is about recognizing what is occurring right now, but not necessarily anything, but to do with what's happening in the body and what's happening in the mind. Yeah. And that is the heart of Buddhist meditation, that what is it all about. So mindfulness is a state of mind that we cultivate, and this is what we call the practice of so-called meditation. There is in fact no such word as meditation in the Buddhist traditional Buddhist text. You cannot find any word that translates into meditation. Have any word that translates to equals meditation in Pali, in Chinese sutras, in... Can you think of a term? The one that is probably the closest word is this. In Pali. How many of you have heard of this term before? Bhavana. Okay, a few of you. It translates as cultivation. Like to put into practice, bhavana. Or to make strong certain things. And that is what's the closest term that we have, is what we modern day call meditation. Right? And these days meditation could mean a lot of different things, but it's important for us to recognize what it is in the context of Buddhism, what does it do? Why do we do this whole thing called meditation? So that we become clear as to where this path leads to. So meditation is a cultivation of mindfulness. Yeah. Mindfulness means paying attention to the body and the mind. Can you pay attention to the body in the past? Can you pay attention to your body in the past?
You can remember it.
You can remember it. Is it really observing it?
No.
In the past.
Just recalling.
You're recalling an experience, but you're not really observing the body. Yeah? And you can't do it in the future either. That's why it's about the present. You are observing the body right now. The same thing, you are observing the mind right now. You can remember and you can intellectually conceptualize certain things about the past and the future, but to really pay attention to the body and mind, it can only be where? Now. And that's why it's called paying attention to the present moment. But paying attention to the present moment can mean external things, but in the Buddhist context, it's more importantly, it's the direct experience of your body and mind. This is the reason why we do meditation, cultivation of mindfulness. Meditation of mindfulness leads to
concentration.
Somewhere down here. You're fast, yeah? Where else does it go? Discernment. So many terms. Discernment, not distraction, yeah? Discernment means you're clearly able to differentiate what is what. First, you pay attention. Then you recognize this is this, that is that. You're clearly able to know what is what. Being able to recognize this is different from this, but this. So you're starting to see the different parts. But first, you need to be mindful. When the mindfulness develops, then discernment arises. Yeah? How many of you have heard of this term, discernment? Okay, a few of you. Alright, okay. And then what happens? Concentration? Not quite yet. From discernment, also, you develop. Let's detour a little bit. Develops energy. Yeah? Because as you pay attention, then it's like, and then you naturally, the energy comes up, right? If you're not, you're like, hazy, I don't really know what this is. Where does your meditation go? Fishing meditation. You know what that is? You're casting the rod with your head. I thought you're fishing. So there's no energy, but mindfulness develops, discernment develops energy. Okay? So far, so good. And then what else? Where else does it go? Let's go this way a little bit. Joy. The heart and mind starts to open up. It lightens up. Alright? Pay attention, you start to see the differences, the energy starts to come up, and then a sense of the mind becomes subtler and subtler, it becomes stronger and stronger. And the strength of the mind, certain things become softer. The mind is not so tight. Naturally, the mind adjusts and then it softens. As it softens, there's a joy or rapture, sometimes it's translated as. But subtle experiences start to come up. It's like, just a different feeling altogether. Right? And it's quite a kind of uplifting type of a sense. Yeah? And then there's more. What's next? Who recognizes some of these terms already? You know where I'm going with this. apart from Rosie. Any one of you know what this list is? You know?
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat? Okay. Let's keep quiet for now. All right, the next thing. After joy. Goes into. Tranquility. Joy has a quality of being uplifting. Yeah? The mind is like, wow, like, that's the joy that arises. Right? But tranquility is when the mind is really settled. Right? And it's like when there's a very calm lake, no wind, the water is very still, and then there's also a full moon. That's the feeling. The moonlight is there, it's calm, it's quiet. It's a different quality to joy. Yeah, joy is like, wow. Right? It's like a fountainish feel to it. Tranquility is like, wow. Right? Okay. And then what happens? Concentration. Concentration does not mean what we usually refer to as concentration when you concentrate in your study. It's not that. It's not just pure focus. Because focus can come quite early on. This concentration is, in fact, sometimes is also called this. Unification. That means what happens to the mind is that the mind becomes very collected. Right? It doesn't mean that it is just focusing on one thing, which concentration typically means. If I say that, can you concentrate your eye on this pen? You are just focusing on here, right? But that is not the concentration that in the Buddhist tradition it means. The word, the translation of this is samadhi. Samadhi means the coming together, the unification. It feels like the mind kind of comes together. There is tranquility, it's calm, right? And sometimes the joy factor is not so much there, but it's actually there. The energy is kind of is buoyant, right? The mindfulness is there, it's clear, right? And it's like it's all coming together. That is the quality of samadhi. And then there's more. See where meditation can take you? There is some more. What's the last one? Yeah, equanimity?
Never mind.
Right. Equanimity. This is when the mind is like a solid rock. Yeah? It's very, very steady. It's unshakable. Things can happen. Crisis can happen. Right? You may be even person abusing you, whatever it is, but the mind is so solid. And you can see why, because it's got so much in itself, regardless of what's actually happening externally, the mind is sharp, it clearly knows, right? It's able to differentiate what's what. Energy is there, joy, which is the energetic uplifting quality, is there, but at the same time, it is also tranquil, yeah, settled, and that is all coming together with a sense of solidity. Seven things. This list is called
Seven
Factors of Enlightenment. Right? And this is contained in all schools of Buddhism. Right? In the Mahayana tradition, this is Qi Jue Zi. Right? Or if you're coming from Taiwanese, Chi Gak Ki, which is the Minnan way of saying it. Yeah? The seven factors of enlightenment. Once you satisfy all these seven, it's just a matter of time that awakening happens. Right? Because once you've... It's like seven things, like the seven batteries are in there, and it starts to run, right? But it starts to charge each other, and then what happens is that then awakening happens. And what is actually awakening? Which is the so-called wisdom factor arises. That means you start to see much clearer. You start to understand along the way you are, but then ultimately you penetrate through to something much deeper, which is the awakening. But this is what meditation is about. In the process, there's a lot of byproduct to it. Yeah, you can get physical health even, health benefits. I mean, science is starting to study that. I won't touch so much on that. Tonight, I come to you as a fellow Dharma practitioner, not even as a psychologist or anything like that, but to talk about really what meditation is about. You need to be clear that this is the path of cultivation, right? Not even talking about meditation, but cultivation of mental states. These are mental states. This is how the mind is. Yeah? It's nowhere else. It's not external. This is all internal experience of the sharpness of the mind, how it's able to discern the energy factor, the joy factor, tranquility, unification, equanimity. It's all internal. It's not dependent on anything that's external. Right, so really it's about the cultivation of all these types of seven qualities. And the more that you do it, they help each other. It's not necessarily so linear in its progression. What it actually probably looks like is that this helps. It's like the entire system that just helps each other. Right? And this is what mindfulness is there to do. Because if you do not understand and see for yourself, you do not train and change the quality of your mind, you will still be stuck in the same place. Yeah. Many, many years ago, and when I grew up in the Buddhist context, in the Buddhist family. But we didn't know too much about the Dharma until then. I studied, I read books, spoke to different monks, nuns, teachers, and then started to get an understanding of the Buddha Dharma. Right? That started to change my life. I tried to practice, be more like a good Buddhist. And then did all various different types of practice, but not so much really meditation. And it was at some point that I felt that there's only that much transformation that happens in my life. I know it here, right? I know what the list is, the list of seven, the four, the eight, the... I can quite easily regurgitate, right? But it's not really causing much transformation in my life anymore. Because knowing it here is one thing, but actually changing the quality and the characteristics of the mind is another. The teacher once said that the longest road is between the head and the heart. You may know it here, but how about really knowing it here? And the way to do it is you need to practice. When I was young, I used to go to the Buddha and say, can I have this and can I have that? It was a totally misunderstanding of what Buddhism is about. But that's where I had to start, right? But as I went deeper and deeper, it is more about what is happening here. What is the cultivation of your own mind? And this is the key part of why we are doing meditation. It is to cultivate these qualities, these seven qualities. Right? And then the more that you do it, eventually this is typically gets stronger and stronger. The equanimity of the mind. And then when the maturity is there, then it says that you just penetrate through to the awakening of Nibbana. But let's not go there. That's advanced stuff. I can answer questions, but I won't spend too much time. Now, this is not an easy practice, right? These all sound like great qualities to have, isn't it? Mindfulness, wow. Discernment, joy, energy, tranquility, concentration, equanimity. And then you say, wow, such a good cell. I really want to learn meditation. Then you go to your first Unibus meditation workshop, you sit down there. What happens? What are your usual experiences?
Sleep.
What's that?
Sleep.
Fall asleep? What else?
Fidget.
What's that?
Fidget.
Fidget. Right? Restless. If you sit there with a fidget spinner. Yeah? What else? Not so much these things. Either the mind falls asleep, you get restless, or the mind can't stop thinking, yeah? And then you come out of the meditation workshop. You went there so excited because you know, oh, I want to cultivate these seven things. But then after 3-4 hours, you walk out, so sad. I can't practice. My mind's not built for it. what happens is, usually when you start practicing, you're practicing to develop this, correct? And mindfulness is about paying attention to currently what's happening in the body and the mind, yes? And what is the mind showing you? That it's tired, that the energy is like here up and down, yep? And that the mind loves to do certain things, right? It loves to narrate. Oh, this is happening, that is happening. Or it likes to go to the past, goes to the future. Think about stuff happening in the past, think about the future, right? It is actually showing you the reality of what is happening right now. But because we don't know why we are doing this, we think that we are doing it wrong. And that is the problem here. And this is what I want to talk about a little bit more this evening. And then I'm going to change gear to give you some different ways of working with some states that will come out in meditation. Right? When we start practicing mindfulness, this is a really nice list for all of us to have. But what can start happening is that, like you were saying, you start practicing, you get this state. Right, someone said that, sleepiness, dullness. Those of you who were here in the first 10 minutes of meditation, we practiced for about 12 minutes. How many of you were sleepy and dull? It's all right, own it. Okay, at least you have got some discernment, right? You know that that's sleepiness, right? Very, very common, yeah? And then there's another one. Restlessness, worry, agitation, the mind is, as someone has said early on, the mind is so active. Yeah. And when you look at these two, they are different sides of the same continuum. On the one side, the mind's energy is so low. Yeah, it drifts off. Yeah. On the other hand, the mind is so agitated, it just can't stop. Yeah. When we talk about energy factor, it means it's flowing well, it's well balanced. But usually when you start is that our energy is not steady or not for long. After a while, it might be steady, you will go down. Or steady, you will just become more and more excited. This is what the reality is revealing to you. Right? Is there anything wrong? No. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's just that this is the moment of the reality that's showing you itself. In fact, the Buddha says, this is what you need to pay attention to. If you don't believe me, there's a scriptural basis to this. When the Buddha taught what is important to pay, how do you develop mindfulness, one of the categories is these experiences. Right. What else? There are five of them that you probably typically come across.
Desire.
Yeah. Or what I call wanting. You're sitting there, but think about something else. Dinner. Gonna be cool a little bit. It's a bit too warm here. You're wanting something else. Usually something else that is not here, or if you're having a nice experience, you're feeling quite comfortable, it's like, oh, this is nice. Oh, I have more of this. That's that mind that is going after something else. Right? That wanting. Okay. And the flip side of that is this. Aversion is the mind not wanting, resisting something that's usually present right now, right? Others, it's an experience here, like too warm or not uncomfortable. You're sitting there, it's aches and pains. Aversion starts to come up. The mind starts to try to push away certain experiences. Yeah. How many of you have had either wanting or aversion in that 10 minutes? Okay. Yep. Very common experiences. Right? You start a practice, this is what you get hit with initially. Yep. And then there's the fifth one. And out of all the five, there are five, a list of five of them, the fifth one is the strongest one that can stop you from your practice. These are five states that can come up And traditionally, they are called the five covers. They cover your practice. They cover the development of mindfulness. They cover the development of the factors of enlightenment. They cover the wisdom. So there are five covers. The fifth cover is this, and this is probably the strongest one out of it all. Now, you're like,
this is the right way to do it. This is the right technique, right practice. This is the right person to be teaching me. This is the right tradition. Or, more importantly, it's a doubt towards yourself. Yeah, good practice, good tradition, but I can't do this. This is not for me. Everyone else can meditate. Their minds are much nicer than mine. Oh, if you take a telescope and look into my mind, oh, that'd be terrible. Cannot, everyone can practice, not me. Doubt towards yourself. Oh, I tried so hard, I can't practice because of this. I'm too young, I'm too old, it's too warm, it's too cool, I'm too hungry, I'm too full. In fact, this is the list from the Buddha, not mine. The Buddha said that, you know? That you refuse to practice because you say that you're too this, too that, too this. Right? And that is eventually part of the doubt that's actually there. Right? Now, it might have not come out in 10 minutes, but you probably have a sense of that has come out when you attempted meditation. Right? It's usually the most obvious when you say, let's say I want to practice for 10 minutes, but you finish before 10 minutes. It's usually doubt that creeps in as the final thing. Right, you might set your alarm clock. Nice little bell, you know, Buddhist bell. Ding. On your app. It's 10 minutes to start. You sit there. And then, you're sitting there, noticing breathing. And then, one of these will pop up. Feeling a little bit sleepy. And then, oh, can't practice. I'm so sleepy. Aversion starts to creep out. So sleepiness has come in. Now the friend has come in. Aversion has also come in. Right? Oh, I want to be able to focus. Why can't I focus? I want to focus. One thing is also coming in now. Or now you've got three to deal with. Right? And then you start like, so sleepy. I can't. And then, sleepiness is gone. But restlessness has now come in. The mind is churning. And then eventually it says, the big brother comes in. Doubt. The last one comes in. Out. I can't do this. Give up. Never mind. All right. 5 minutes. Never mind. Let me go and do the dishes now. I never thought of doing the dishes, but suddenly you do the dishes. It's a bit like studying for exam also. Right? When you're studying for exam, you got a lot of ideas, right? But when the exam finishes, what are all the ideas? I don't know. I remember sitting in the USW library. Oh, well, I could be doing this and that. So creative suddenly when I'm asked to be sitting there studying. Right? But same thing that can happen in meditation practice too. Right? Now, this is what the Buddha says are the five hindrances. That's the translation. But there's also called the five covers. The traditional word is nivarana, which actually means cover. Yeah, one that obscures and covers it. It's like a bright moon, right? But a cloud comes over and covers it. Right? It covers the cultivation or the strength of the cultivation. I prefer to call it the five roadblocks. Right? It blocks your road. It's a kind of a very similar meaning. However, the roadblocks also has this particular meaning. And also, we've done meditation training with me, we know the answer to this question. Where do you come across roadblocks?
When you're on the road.
On the road! That's exactly right. You come across roadblocks because you are on the road. Do you come across roadblocks when you're sitting in your comfort zone, nice and comfortable at home? No. When you start moving towards somewhere, then you get a block, correct? That means that you're starting to travel on this road or aiming to travel on this road. That's where you get the roadblocks. So having these states does not mean that there's anything wrong with you. It's just showing you what the reality of the mind is right now. But if you don't know this, a lot of people end up giving up meditation because these are the experiences they have, and then they say, I can't practice. Right? But the Buddha says, it's okay. If wanting, aversion, sleepiness, dullness, or restlessness, worry, agitation, or doubt comes up, you are fully mindful that these states have arisen. The Buddha says, the devil says, you cannot have these states. You must not have these states. If you have these states, please do not call yourself Buddhist. No such thing. The Buddha says, this is going to come up. Right? In fact, this is one of the earlier lists that he gave under Dhammanupassana, which is the watch watching of mental phenomena or watching of phenomena. This is one of the first five phenomena that you're probably going to come across. And sure enough, you can see, you look around yourself and your own experiences and others. These are the five experiences that keep popping up. But the key thing here is being able to be mindful of these states as they arise. You need to pay attention to them. You need to know that they have come up. Not trying to run away from it. Not trying to push them away. Right? Willpower only takes you that far. Right? Because if you don't like these states, you're going to try to push it away. As you push it away, what happens? What state is that pushing away? Aversion, and then probably restlessness, right? And you're saying that I don't like these states. Let me have joy. Let me have tranquility. What is that? Wanting, yeah. So you can see how the way to work with these states is not that you're trying to struggle and push back at them, but it is to know them really, really well. The usual states that you first come across, in fact, are these two. Because the energy is actually not quite there. It's either too low or too high. Right? It's not that steady yet. The right effort has not been established yet. It's not the habit of the mind yet. But you, as you train it, and how do you train it? How do you get the energy? Correct? You need to do this, which helps develop this, which helps develop energy. Right? So, can we argue our way out of this? We can't. What do? We use this to develop this. Okay? What do I mean by that? When you are experiencing sleepiness or dullness, you need to pay attention. What is the experience of sleepiness and dullness? What is the actual experience in the body and the mind of this experience, so-called sleepiness or dullness? Do you know how sleepiness and dullness arises? Do you know how it is experienced? You might be able to remember roughly it is like that. But are you fully present, mindful of? Remember, mindfulness is of the body and mind in the current present moment. So if the present reality of the body and mind is that there's a sleepy and dull state, what you do, you're mindful of that state. You pay attention how it comes up. Sleepiness, where does it appear? How does it appear? Which part? How do you experience? How do you feel? Is it heavy? Is it light? Is it kind of like a warm feeling? Is it, what is it? How does it creep up? And by doing that, even though sleepiness as a state has come up, you are still using this state to develop this. Does your practice grow? Yeah. But if you say that, oh, I've got sleepiness, therefore I can't practice this, you can see why it becomes a cover. It covers away your practice. Yeah? Similarly, restlessness, worry, and agitation, when it comes up, what do? You pay attention to it. You be mindful of it. What is the experience of restlessness? How does it feel like? What's the experience of it? Some meditators describe it like, the mind is like a monkey moving around. A very traditional analogy. A more modern analogy is like the spinning washing machine. Of course, the Buddha didn't use that analogy. Washing machine back then. But you get the, right? It's like it's spinning. Right? Or it's like a fly. You know, or a mosquito. Yeah, the mind is a bit like that. But if you pay attention, then you know, oh, this is the current state of the mind. This is what's happening right now. This is what's happening right now. This is what's happening right now. If you're able to do that, to be fair, probably you've got 5 minutes of sleepiness, you're going to be able to really be mindful of 3 or 4 seconds of it. Right? You're like, oh, I noticed my sleep. No, sleep. Right? It's probably a bit like that. But this is where you start. Because in those moments, it's like, oh, this is sleepiness, but then you get dragged into it. In those moments, the mindfulness starts to increase. You're like trying to fire, ignite, yeah? So you have to have enough of the friction for the heat to come up, correct? So it's like each time it's like until the mindfulness is like boom, comes up. So it's like the fire gets lit, right? But if you don't use those moments, it never happens. You're like, oh, cannot practice, and then doubt comes in, ha ha ha. Right? Go do something else. Yeah, do other practice, it's much easier. It's not easy, right? Because it's saying that you need to look at yourself. You need to look at your mind and your body. That is the only way that you can see what reality is, what experience is. This is how the only way that you can understand the three characteristics of existence. Where dukkha is. What is change? What is non-self? Not because the Buddha says so, not because the text says so, but you directly understand and see for yourself that this experience is changing or whatever it is. The three characteristics are clear. But if you're not mindful, you don't see anything. Right? The same thing, in those restlessness, your mind is so restless that for a while you're like, oh, this is restless, oh, so tired. And then you're like churning, you're thinking about this, thinking about that. But then for a few split seconds, again, you're noticing, you're catching yourself, this is experience of the mind agitated, and then you get dragged in again. But that's fine. Again, it's those few moments, let's start to, the engine starts to start, right? And then the mindfulness becomes stronger and stronger. You're able to discern, ah, this is how it is, this is how it is. The energy starts to kick in the balanced manner, right? Then it's like, huh, the mind starts to brighten up. As the mind brightens up, and then it starts to also be able to start to be settled, and then unified. From there, equanimous, solid, and then that is the unshakable mind, equanimity. But then you have to go through these first. But you have to be skillful in how you go through these. Okay? Now, let's do a short meditation practice. This time, I'm going to ask you to look for these five states. Right? And see as much as you can, pay attention to especially these two. Sleepiness and restlessness as they come up, right? I want you to, the way to pay attention to, the easiest way is what is happening to the body when these states come up, okay? Don't expect that they might come, they might not, right? But I'll guide you through a meditation practice. Sit comfortably, spine is upright, right? You can have your eyes closed, you can have your eyes open. If your eyes are open, just have it downcast a little bit. Sitting comfortably, upright, strong posture. From here, just noticing the movements associated with breathing. Noticing the breath around the stomach area or the chest area. Just noticing movement. Just allowing the breath to be natural. Approaching your practice with ease. A relaxed mindfulness. You are mindful of what's occurring right now. You're noticing the movements associated with breathing. As much as possible, just allow your attention to know these experiences. Also, it's very natural that the mind moves to something else. It goes to thinking, or any of these states, sleepiness, restlessness. As it comes up, you just know, this is happening now. This is happening now. This is happening now. Can be useful for you to use just a single word that labels the experience. You can call it thinking. You can notice this is breath in, breath out, or the stomach expanding, contracting. Or wherever else the mind moves to. You might be hearing, you might be noticing particular sensations in the body. It could be sleepiness, restlessness. If sleepiness comes up, just pay attention to how it is experienced in the body. What is the experience that tells you that this is sleepiness? If restlessness comes up,
What is it about this experience that tells you that this is restlessness? What is the state of the body and the mind? If the mind is just moving around, just noticing that moving, that sense of it. Trying to pay attention to what's occurring in the mind right now, or in the body right now. Especially if there's sleepiness, dullness, tiredness, or if there's restlessness or agitation in the mind. What is the experience that tells you this is sleepiness? What is the experience that tells you that this is agitation and restlessness? If you're not sure what to pay attention to, just focus on breath, the experience of breath, movements associated with breathing. And if any of these states come up, wanting, aversion, sleepiness, restlessness, doubt, make sure you know it. This is happening. This is happening. This is happening. Being mindful of what's happening now, in the body or in the mind. What is happening now? Any roadblocks? How many of you had some roadblocks? Put up your hands, that's fine. Okay, good. You are aware that there is a roadblock. Okay? How many of you have sleepiness? Okay. How do you know you have sleepiness? What was the experience that told you that you had sleepiness? What's the experience in the body?
Head feels heavy.
Okay, head feels heavy. So for you, it's here. And the experience is heaviness.
And drowsy.
Okay, drowsy, in what way is it drowsy? What makes you know that that's a drowsy state?
Feels like you feel like you're going to fall asleep, that kind of state.
Okay. So, feel like you're about to fall asleep, can you help me understand the kind of the felt experience of that? You will, if you were to describe it to someone who has never fallen asleep before, that's you, right? What would you tell them? How does it feel? Is it like heavy or is it moving? Is it?
You feel like also like maybe your body is a bit more relaxed, I guess.
Okay, so the body is relaxed, and you're noticing you're doing this, but this part is kind of
and the eyelids are getting heavier.
Okay, eyelids are getting heavier. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, right? So for you it's heavy in the head. For you, is the eyelids are getting heavy, but there's a sense of quite at ease, quite relaxed as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? Others will have sleepiness. Okay, the mind is blank. That means it's, what is the blank sense of it? What is it?
They can't focus on anything.
So it's hazy?
Yeah.
It's like, the mind is like, there's a lot of a haze around, right? Or there's like a lot of, it's like smoky, you can't quite see clearly. Is that sense of it? Okay, yeah. Right. Other experiences? Anyone?
Yeah. I don't have the sleepiness
okay.
This time.
Alright, so not sleep, sorry. Okay. Others with sleepiness?
Fishing.
So fishing in what way? Alright, so you notice that so the body has a tendency to move forward, right? There's a heaviness. That you say the head is heavy, therefore what happens? This is the experience of it. Yeah? Interesting, right? If you really watch sleepiness, that's a lot to watch. Right? What else? Other experiences? Who else has sleepiness? And what's the experience of sleepiness? We got heaviness. Anyone had like heat or cool? No? Temperature? No? Cozy a little bit? Yeah. What was it for you?
It's a felt sensation in the chest area.
Warm, cool?
Warm and cool.
Right,
it's hard to describe.
It's like very comfortable, like very
comfortable. Like very comforting.
Comforting, yeah. I think in Mandarin it's like wincing, like, you know, like very It's like a nice grandmother gives you a little blanket, right? Yeah. And that's sometimes how sleepiness feels like, right? You're just meditating there.
It's not sleeping.
Huh?
It wasn't sleepiness for me.
It wasn't for you, okay. But it was a comfort. Alright, might be something different.
It's a calmness.
Okay. Did the mind dial down or was the mind sharp? Okay, so now that's different. Okay, so that is some of these other states too, right? But sleepiness can feel like that too, right? So you're just learning to angle in to be watchful of it. Now those of you who are sleepy, were you able to watch sleepiness the whole time? No? How many percent you think? Roughly. Just yell out. How many? 10%? Yeah? Others? So the whole experience of sleepiness, you're able to watch maybe like a tenth of it? Yeah?
Maybe it's starting to slowly decrease.
Slowly decrease. So you can watch more and then right? The energy keeps dropping. And you can see, now you're seeing the reality of the mind, which is mindfulness requires some level of energy. But when energy is drained, it becomes harder to be mindful of it too. You're starting to see connections there. Yeah? And of course, the first time you see it, okay, the second time. But if you're continuously doing your practice this way, you're using these things to grow your mindfulness. Right? This is like the real fertilizer or the supercharge to your mindfulness practice. Yeah? Let's change gear a little bit. Restlessness, worry, agitation, how many of you have that? Okay, a few of you. Yep, so you were like flipping between the two. Yep, and that happens too. Like I say, they typically when one comes, they show the other and then they kind of flick you around. Like they play volleyball with you. Oh, sleepiness. Oh, restlessness. Right? That can happen too. Now, restlessness, agitation. What's the experience of it? What do you notice?
Okay,
so sorry, what was that?
Stray thoughts come into your head.
Okay, so the
how does it come to your head?
Oh, it usually just catches me by surprise.
Okay, so just a different thought?
No, I think I'm being very mindful of my breathing, and then all of a sudden I'm very mindful in something else.
Oh, okay, so you're like, pay attention to the breath, and then suddenly you are lost somewhere. Yeah. So you don't even remember you're sitting in this building.
Oh, no,
in this room.
I remember, but it's just like, I didn't even know when that started coming in.
So your next thing you know, you're already thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Shani? Yeah. So it feels that you're being dragged away, like a distance away from your here. It kind of goes somewhere else. That's the feeling, okay? Great. Others?
Very similar. The breath disappears.
The breath disappears?
With thought.
Okay, so how is it for you that it disappears?
Oh, so it's like breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Then suddenly I just think, oh, the Buddha was like talking about the breathing in like this, like that.
So the object you initially focus on, that is gone.
Yeah.
And then it's replaced by something else.
Yeah.
That you are, and it's like, for you, it's like a thinking process,
yes.
Right? Okay. Right, others? How's the quality? Is it fast, slow, tight, soft, tight, at ease? What was it like? Was it churning like a washing machine? Was it like, feels like it's kind of hopping around, or is it kind of slow motion? What is the feel of it?
A bit of both. Like, in a sense, it's slow, and because it sort of creeps on you without you noticing it. So I would say it's slow in that sense. But then once it happens, you just sort of roll with it, and that's when it becomes a bit fast.
Right. So it's like, it creeps in.
Yeah.
And it catches you? Once it catches you? And you can see how you are now using this experience to develop this. Because without this, you would not have been able to capture that. In fact, probably a very light touch of discernment is starting to arise there as well. Starting to, this is different. And for you who have different experiences, can you notice the differences when you have this versus this? Or is it all in a blur? It can sometimes be like that.
It was weird because, like, I was feeling like this throughout the whole thing until, like, I think, like, 30 seconds, 1 minute before it ends.
Yep.
And then suddenly I was like, I don't know if it's restlessness, but suddenly it just becomes really sharp.
Okay.
And
no.
Then. Uh-huh. But it feels very fast as well at the same time.
Okay.
I don't know why.
So her experience is in the first. We practice for about 4 minutes or so. Probably for the first 3 minutes or so, it's just kind of this slogging through, it's heavy, it's doing fishing and everything. And then suddenly, it's like, shoom. Okay. That state has disappeared, right? And then it stayed there probably for a little bit, and then it started to get active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was kind of doing this. The mind is going like, and then, right? It feels a bit like that, right? Now, what is occurring is you are seeing the reality of what? Change. Correct? You are seeing directly, experiencing it, that is the state, one state finishes, another state arises, another state finishes, another state arises. You are starting to see for yourself from your experience one of the three characteristics. The Buddha says all experiences have these three characteristics. Right, you know. To be fair, he said all conditioned responses, all conditioned phenomena have these three characteristics. Change is one of them. Now you're seeing, even for that flip moment, that one thing finishes and something comes up. The passing of a state and the arising of something else. You don't have to have someone tell you, you know, your experiences, it comes, it goes. That is one thing here. But seeing it, right through mindfulness with discernment now, okay. Yep. And so we... Sorry?
But actually, because I was surprised, and then I started to think like, oh, wow.
And then there's some more, right? Yes. And then you know, so when I engage in it, sometimes you can push it up. Right? You've seen cause and effect of what is how the mind actually pushes from one thing to another. This is not an easy practice. This is a very profound practice. But this is a practice that allows you to see for yourself over time, time and time again. We did that for like 4 minutes. You're starting to see something that is actually something shifting. Imagine training your mind to keep doing this over and over again. It becomes something deep down that you start to realize for yourself. Right? It's like,
Do you have a sense that tomorrow the sun is going to come up? Yeah? Do you doubt that the sun is going to come up tomorrow?
Now that I asked you, I don't know.
But you kind of feel, right? You know, like you go tonight, you know, you're not worried, like what I said, I don't know whether the sun is going to come up tomorrow or not. But you know, right, that the sun is going to come up. It's time to sleep, you sleep. And then tomorrow, the sun is going to come up tomorrow. Because it's from experience after experience that you actually learn that. Yeah? Similarly, you ride a bicycle, initially you have to think about it and everything, but after a while, it's okay, you just kind of go with it. Similarly, the learning occurs like that. Through the mindfulness of mindfulness and mindfulness and mindfulness of seeing what the body and mind, how it is, how it changes, discernment naturally arises. You start to see, this is a connection there. Right? And this is why we practice like that. This practice leads to equanimity and ultimately breaking through into wisdom, which is understanding what reality is about. And that's why it is so powerful. Yeah. See how you can even use this as the way to develop your mindfulness? So next time when you're doing meditation, if you're visited by these friends, right, use them. Use them to know how to develop that. To be fair, sometimes it can be hard. That's why teachers give you additional support. When you're sleepy, go and, you know, wash your face or stand up instead, because sometimes it's so hard to keep watching it. But it doesn't mean that when it comes that it is the end game for you. It's not. It is, in fact, just the mind showing you right now, this is the tired state. Right now, this is restless state. Right now, this is the mind wanting. Right now, this is the mind having aversion. What is the quality of it here? What is the quality of it here? Then you start to see, actually, it's actually tight. It's not settled. But when this goes away, then the mind is naturally more buoyant. Then you see for yourself, rather than the Buddha says, one thing not very good, aversion is a root of poison. Of course, the Buddha says that to us, to point us to that, but you need to see for yourself, and not nothing changes. It's all just here. Remember I was saying, the road from here to here is the longest journey? But it is through seeing, time and time again, that this develops here. This is how the Buddha Dhamma comes alive for you. Not just book knowledge, not just someone else's, your teacher or the elder's knowledge. And this is important. I want to also do something else with you with the remaining time we have. Another experience that I find people find that they feel that they can't practice meditation is because the mind constantly thinks. Correct? How many of you were thinking in that 4 or 5 minutes? Had some thought? Okay. Yeah. How many of you had no thought at all? Right? Yeah. So for you, you're sleepy, right? Now, thinking is one of the ones that sometimes it can be a little bit tricky to work with, because eventually when the mind is settled, energy is going smoothly, joy, tranquility, especially the unification factor comes up, the mind is usually quieter, less of this discursive thinking, which is what we call in Buddhism. That means this kind of chattering away, this narrative that's going on. The mind is clear, it's aware, it's not checked out. But it also can be silent when it needs to be. When there's no need, the mind is silent. But we try to do that, the mind is like, why so silent? What are you doing? Right? Is this it? So there's always constant chatter that's going on, right? Because we are so used to the thought process of thinking. It is the brain's function to think. Right? Being human, Homo sapiens, we think, we use the brain, and the brain generates concepts, it learns things, and then it projects things, it helps us to survive. It's a function of the brain to just churn out thought stream, one thing after another, after another, after another. Usually in the conscious moment, when we're awake, thoughts are mostly there. Sometimes even when we're asleep, thoughts are also there, for example, when we're dreaming. Yeah? Now, the thought stream itself is not so much the issue. It is our relationship with the thought stream. Who is the thought usually about?
Me.
Even when I'm thinking of someone else, it's from my perspective. Me as a reference point, thinking about someone else, right? The thought stream is so addictive and it's so sticky because the me as an identity, that is sticky. And the thought stream itself is not a problem. The Buddha thinks, he's enlightened. And when he was teaching, he was formulating his teaching, all these are thinking processes, right? But he's got a very different relationship with his thinking process than we do. We think and we are like falling in love with our thinking and we just go with the thinking. There is no sense of like, it arise or not. Right? The thought stream is sticky, is addictive because me is sticky. I, right? It's like, when you go to a, this analogy is given by Patrick Carney, one of the great Vipassana teachers. He said, you go to a restaurant, then you sit down, then you order your food, then you wait there for your food, and then suddenly hear, oh, I recognize this voice. Huh, that's the very familiar laughter of Rosie. I can, you know, recognize that even from far, far away. Oh, Rosie's actually around. Then you hear, oh, she seemed to be having fun with her friends, so I won't go over and disturb her. And you're sitting there, and you can hear a few words here and there. It's like, interesting. Of all the people in the restaurant, your mind now is heading that direction. Why? Because I don't know these people, I know that one. Yeah? So this has a relationship to me. This one, less relationship. Right? So the mind is turning there. Oh, you're still maybe hearing a little bit, you know, oh yeah, a little bit of this. Yanny local business. You're still hearing that. Bull dress. Anyway, but then you're hearing that. And then Rosie suddenly said, you know, Chen Hong. Now it's different. Now the attention, what Yanny Laurel? Then you're super interested. You even go a bit like this. Right? Because now is what? It's personal. It's about me. She mentioned my name, I mean, she's talking about me. Right? Now I'm even more interested than I was before. Before that, out of everyone, this one a bit more special because I know her. But now this is super special because I know her and she's talking about me. Right? It is because of my relationship that's sticky about me. That's so important. That's why this I'm so interested in. Yeah? Same process. The thought process is all about me. That's why it is so sticky. Yeah? Because it's just generating the thought stream, and it's all generating from the reference point of me. That's why when it pops up, it just drags your attention. It commands your attention. Yeah? So the way to work with thoughts is that it doesn't mean that when you're starting to practice, you should have no thoughts. At some stage, sometimes the mind really quiets down. And don't have much discursive thinking. But it doesn't mean that you have to wait until there's no thought to start practicing. It will never happen. So, when there are thoughts that come up, you need to learn how to observe the thought process. And this can be difficult. The way to observe the thought stream is to objectify it, which is to get some distance from it. Remember I say that we are in love with our thought stream? Whenever thoughts come up, we are like, we hold it so close because of that relationship with the thought. It's so sticky. So the way to do that is to create some distance with it. It's easier said than done. It is a bit like having a river and you're watching the river. But if you're too close to the river, what happens?
You fall off.
Right? And then you're... And this is what happens, right? From morning we wake up, and the river, and night we go to sleep. And then after fourth stage of sleep, you're dreaming, you're in the river again. Right? So usually we're in the river. But in meditation, we need to try to get under the bank and watch the river, which is tricky. But you can also try to watch the river from afar. But can you see anything? No. This is when you try to suppress the thinking. It might work a little bit, but you're missing it. So it is finding just the right distance with the thought stream. Too close, shoot, you go in. Too far, we don't see anything. So it's about finding just that right angle. And then the useful place to anchor awareness is in the body. When it's a felt sense in the body, there's a less in the mind, in the actual thought stream. So I'm going to take you through a few ways that you can learn to watch the thought process. Alright, I want to take you through a series of exercises that can help you to lean in on how do you observe thoughts. This one also, this exercise also comes from Patrick Carney. So, it won't be too long, and we'll chat in between. So, similarly, sit comfortably, as though you're sitting in a meditation posture, and bring your awareness inside, internally. Bring your awareness into the body, just noticing your body. Have your eyes open, can have your eyes closed, it doesn't matter. Settling into your meditation object, whatever it might be. And turn your awareness to focusing on just the physical body. Noticing that. Now turn your awareness to your mind. Are you thinking right now? If you notice thoughts arising, then they must be appearing to you in a certain way. How do thoughts appear to you? Do they appear as words? Or do they appear as visual images? Or as a felt sense? Or a combination of these? Just notice how thoughts appear to you when thoughts pop up. What form do they take? How do thoughts appear? Okay. And open your eyes. Let's chat a little bit more before I move to the next exercise. How many of you were thinking? How many of you actually, when you were wanting to watch thinking, there was not much thinking? Okay, which is interesting. That in itself is interesting. When you're actually being watchful, mindfulness is there, sometimes the thought process is actually not that active. Because now you're like, okay, let me watch it. It's actually as quiet as can ever be. Right? Alright, for those where thoughts popped up, how did they appear to you? What form did they take?
Visual and what?
Visual?
Yeah.
So for you it's visual? Okay. Where? Is it visual?
Yeah.
Visual?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. So for you it's a visual image when you're thinking.
Mm.
Right? A few of you nodding. How many of you had like visual images? Okay. How many of you did not have visual images or had something else apart from visual image? What was it?
Song.
Song. So it's like song. Singing? Yeah. Were they words?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's song with lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah? So thinking can take a form of words or sometimes a tune. Yeah? Others? So we got visual, we got song, yes?
I think I was thinking about what you were saying.
Yeah?
So when you were saying, like, think of what, how does this thoughts
appear? Yeah.
Appear. Then I was thinking about that. Then I was thinking, oh, I should tell you about that after this.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that, was that like a commentary? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's words, but it's like a commentator, like a documentary. Oh, now the turtle is flying, you know, it's swimming, and then now this animal has come. Right? It's like narrating, right?
Yeah.
And for you, it's narrating. Oh, so he's asking us to do this. Oh, there is this. Oh, I should. Oh, well, this is thinking. Yeah?
Yeah?
Whereas for you, it's. And for you, it's. Wow, it's like watching a video. Yeah? Others? Other form that appear to you? How many of you. It was not. Words, it was not visuals, it was something else. It was not, it's like just a felt knowing, like a feel, a felt sense when you kind of just feel that you know something. Not so much? Kind of? Yeah? Can you just expand a little bit? What do you notice?
I feel like there's a feeling.
Yeah.
And then I try to understand what this feeling is, and then that's when I start to put this in to explain.
Right. Okay. So initially it was just a sense. Yeah. I feel that some activity is going on, and then when you lean in on that, then the commentary started.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's that and there's this too. Yeah. And that's all mental activity. This is probably one of the first few times they actually pay attention to be watchful of the thinking. And you can see that it's actually quite interesting. And this is giving you some way of objectifying the thought by actually just telling you, think, just allow it. But when it comes up, know how it appears. Alright? Ready for more? Alright? Second exercise. Again, settle yourself in a comfortable posture. And bring your attention in to your body. Turning your attention inwards. Awareness of the body. And now turn your attention to the mind. And see if thinking arises. The moment a thought arises, catch it. This time, pay attention to where the location of your thought is. Where do you think? This is a bit like locating a physical sensation in the different part of the body. But thought streams may or may not have a location. Where is that sense of the thought? Sometimes people have a sense that it's around the head. But it might not be. It could be somewhere else. Don't assume. When thoughts pop up, just notice where. Where is the sense of it coming from? Or where is it located? Where do you think? Focus your attention back again on the body, regardless of what mental states there may be. Just focusing your attention back onto the body, the physical body. And again, turn your attention now to the mind again. And notice if a thought arises, can you catch the start or the end of a thought? Is there a gap between thinking processes? Just allow thoughts to come and go and see where you can see a start and an end. Also notice, is there a difference between thinking and knowing that you're thinking? Experientially, is there a difference between thinking and knowing that you are thinking? Just let go of specifically paying attention to the thought stream, letting thoughts come and go, and just partly paying attention to the body, anchoring your awareness there, and just noticing the coming and going of thought stream. Just allowing it to flow past, like a river, just allow it to flow. So this second part here, I got you to
focus on location. Where do you think? What did you find? What did you notice? Where did you think?
On my forehead.
So for you, it was around here?
Yeah, like
what form?
It was like a tight energy.
Yep.
Like around here.
Yep. Was it an image? Was it a word?
I just got like constant like transition of images.
Images. Yep. So around here.
Yeah.
Yep. Just a little bit ahead, like a small little screen here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. A few of you have that same experience around here. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Others?
For me, the body sensation was at the front, but the thought process was actually on top.
So it's like you feel certain sensations here that correspond to the thinking, but it feels like it's like here.
Yeah.
Is it here or is it here? Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, others?
There's like, it's kind of like Gajun Son. So when I have my thinking, it's here, but like when it's focused, it's also there, but it can feel like it's like going like to the center. Not really center, but like going to it.
It's like this movement. Mm-hmm. It's not in a spot, but there's like a move towards this when you're focusing. Yeah? Fascinating, isn't it? Others?
Mine is mainly all here.
Just on one side?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right side.
Right side fire.
If it relaxes, it will come to the left.
Wow, interesting, right? Yeah. We only ever jump in the stream, but we never step out of the stream and look at the stream. Is it clear water? Is there fish in there? Is there garbage bag floating down? But now you're like, oh, wow, there's this. Yeah. And that is the development of mindfulness and some discernment in that. Yeah. Others? Do any of you like outside of these areas? So far, is it all around this area? Were there other parts? Feel like thoughts would. What, MCA? Or were there thoughts whereby there's no sense of location? You can't quite pinpoint it, but you know that the thought process is there. Anyone have that? Okay, what was your experience?
I tried to locate, but I don't know where is it from.
You just don't have a sense of it. And what form was it taking? Was it words, image, feeling?
Feeling and visual, okay.
Yeah, feeling and visual, but not have a clear sense of where it is, right? The visual, is it broad or is it focused?
It started with just a single object, but then later it goes, the more you look, the more broader it is.
Yeah, it expands. Yeah? Interesting, isn't it? Then we slightly move again. We say that, can you notice the start and the end of thinking or thought process? How did you go with that? That one is even subtler. It's catching, there's something stuck, that's the end. How did you go with that?
Well, for me, it's like the moment I start seeing it, it disappears. It's like, hi, am I?
This is interesting. The moment that you look at it, right, in fact, that's another question I didn't ask this time. But what happens to the thought when you are aware of the thought? And for you, you are aware. It's like a mirage. You look at it, it disappears. Right? It's like a cloud of smoke. The moment you look at it, it dissipates. Yeah, for you, it's like that. Others?
It's the opposite actually. Like,
yep.
If I'm aware of it, it's like at first it's out of focus, but then when I'm aware of it, it sort of becomes clearer.
Yeah. So for you, it's like kind of in the periphery when you focus and zoom lens.
Yeah.
Right? Focus, right? And it becomes clearer. Yep. Who's able to notice the start of a thought or end of a thought? Yeah. Start. What do you notice? Like, were you able to? Oh.
Just the clarity beforehand,
yeah.
And then the image presenting itself.
Just that moment when it pops up, you notice, yep, okay, interesting, yeah. How about end? Anyone catch like a finish just like just the last part of the thought. It's subtle. It's very, very subtle. Right? Does it matter? What's the difference between thinking and aware that you are thinking? Is there a difference to it? Is there a different feel to it? Oh, by then you all fell asleep. What's that? You didn't remember hearing that part.
Space.
Space, in what way?
When you're thinking, it's kind of like you're in the story itself.
You're in it, yeah.
And you're observing, you're an observer of,
yep.
of the stream.
Yep. You have a bit more space.
Yes.
Right, it kind of like it feels a little bit kind of further, a bit more distance from it. Okay. Yep. Others?
For me, doesn't judge.
Doesn't judge? So
yeah.
Which one judge, which one doesn't judge?
The aware one doesn't judge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're in it, you're judging it?
If I'm in the thought stream, yes.
In it, it probably is like participating with it.
Yeah.
Like engaging with it. You're having a conversation. Right?
Yeah.
Right? But you're not. It's there. It's still talking away, but it's like you're not engaging in it. Therefore, there's no relating directly to it.
Yeah, so you're not really having wanting or aversion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are the qualities of the mindfulness. When you're mindful there, right, it has a little bit more distance, but it's still close. You're not shutting it down. You're not like running away from the river. It's close, but you're kind of looking at it. Oh, fish. Plastic bag. Yeah? You're just kind of seeing it flow past. Yeah? And this is how you can see even the processes that where people think that they're not doing the meditation practice right can be used in service of developing mindfulness. But you need to know that this is about developing mindfulness so that there's discernment. Right? So that there's clarity, that you clearly know what is actually going on. That is the heart of Buddhist meditation practice. There are different traditions, different styles that bring you in here, but really it is about, from there, developing mindfulness, discernment, energy, joy, tranquility, unification, and equanimity, the seven factors of enlightenment. You may have heard of the Buddha story when he was a small child, when he was born. The legend says that he took seven steps and seven lotuses bloomed in his steps, right? Now, to me, that's probably a legend, but what is encoded in that message, to me, it means he's symbolizing that he, in that life, is fully perfecting these seven things. Seven steps that he took, each step, a full-blown lotus bloomed. It's very symbolic. It means the seven things that he has really fully mastered in full bloom. Ours is like, we can't even see. Right, or not, like not quite, right? But his is full bloom, that's why he's fully awakened. So that is the actual symbolic meaning of that. I don't know whether the Buddha really did upon birth take seven steps and then have lotus and then, you know, being a baby. I don't know, but I know that it is symbolic in that sense that there's seven factors of enlightenment that he taught. Right? And the symbolism of the lotus is the purity and the full bloom of those are these seven qualities that lead to enlightenment. And this is what Buddhist meditation, you want to call it cultivation, it's all aiming towards developing these qualities of the mind. Hopefully what we've done today is at least given you a sense of that, you know, this is a path that is at the heart of developing understanding and real wisdom. And this is a path that leads to awakening, leads to enlightenment. When you start, of course, you might not necessarily have these experiences, but you might be hit with these experiences which sometimes can feel quite unpleasant and somewhat even challenging. It is okay. The Buddha, in fact, said that this is what you're going to come across, right? You can use this to develop your mindfulness. Be mindful of these states. And you've started to pay attention to how you can be mindful of these states, especially sleepiness and restlessness. The other state that very often comes up is that chatteringness, the discursive thinking that occurs. If you know that it's part of the practice that you can use that to develop your mindfulness, which is just those few moments that you actually have, you're able to angle in. And by angling in, you start to see for yourself the reality of your own experiences. Right? The Buddha didn't say, so you will think like this. Then it's like, see for yourself. What is the reality or the characteristic of your own body and your own mind? When you pay attention to it, present body, present mind, see for yourself what emerges, what form it takes, what happens. And with that, you will have discernment. right? And then you'll be like, oh, I want to do more. I want to check this out. Right? As you do that more and more, the natural purification of the mind, right, transformation of it, the joy factor starts to arise, tranquility, the unification of that, and the stability of the equanimity. That's the unshakable mind. So I wish for you all the seven factors of enlightenment. So, thank you. Hands up.